There we go. Oh, I forgot we're in little. We want speaker view. There we go.
जय गुरु जी।
जय गुरु। One interesting thing that I noticed today when I was at this meeting, they put these poinsettias on the table, like, you know, in a decorative fashion. And I remember Like before going to see Maharaj, I had read in a book that the plants would emit a presence. And as I was sitting in the table today, it was cool because it was looking at the plant. And previously it was, okay, this plant is like projecting presence, like presence is emanating from this plant. But that is from the perspective of an object looking at another object. And today, in looking at the poinsettia, it was the knowing that the presence, this plant has appeared within that presence. This object has appeared within that presence. And when I sit and meditate, and when I'm sitting with my own self, I know that all of these objects are appearing within that presence. But it was just a kind of a twist of seeing, whereas previously it was the plant is radiating presence, and you could kind of like look at the plant and sort of feel and sort of even see like the radiance of the presence that was around the plant. But now the understanding is that, well, the presence, this plant has appeared within that presence. Because there's no longer an object-to-object identification of this plant is an object that's radiating presence. It's now, there is nothing but presence, and all of these are an appearance within that presence, including this plant, including this body form, including everything that's seen. So it was just a nice kind of interesting moment.
Thank you for sharing that.
It makes me think, so ultimately there's no experience, no experiencer. There is no John perceiving the plant, and there's no plant, but through that like presence, it reflected back on itself. Like, so it was that, and it's beautiful in the moment, but it's recognition that every all of it is that same thing. So it's like, I was thinking when you're saying that, like, it's like, oh, so it's coming from me, but not Jordan or JD, not like some something I can grasp, like, but that same presence that's beyond me, so-called me or you in that plant, is the exact same thing, like reflecting back to itself. So it's like the same union, or at least that's how I kind of interpret that, because I can see certain things like that in my own experience. Or it seems like, I don't know, it's kind of like mysterious, but it just seems like there's more people or things, or I see where I didn't used to see this oneness, or this truth around things. Like, it just, I guess it's like, it's reassuring, I guess, amidst like all the chaos and like, you know, whatever afflictions are happening in the dream, you know, all that stuff that feels so real, but that's the same. I mean, I think I read somewhere like how could oneness victimize itself? And I think that's what I'm trying to convey, or at least that's what you made me think of.
Yeah, but there's no activity within presence. Like there really is, presence is not involved in the activity, just like the space in the room is not involved. People could be dancing in the room and doing all sort of thing, but the space is totally unaffected. It's unmoving. The objects or the appearances that are appearing appear to be moving within that is unmoving. And that is unmoving is your own selfless self. Unchanging. Whether the body is there or not there, presence is. Whether there's motion or no motion, presence is motionless. Just as the space, activities that are occurring within the space in the room have no effect on the space at all. And from the perspective of an object, you could say, well, the space must part as I move through it. But no, this is not true. So it can be seen that these objects can move, this whole world can be moving, people can be being born and dying, and there's an earthquake or tornado, but the presence is completely unaffected. It never was anything. No experience, no experiencer. When you know yourself in a real sense, nothing. All the something, just like the plant. That plant appeared within the nothing. It's an appearance in the nothingness, in the presence, the absolute space that is unlimited and cannot be described. This plant is an appearance. It's the something within the nothing, as is this body and those bodies and all the bodies we see. That's the something within the nothing. And when the something is dissolved, the nothing still very much is. It has not changed. When the dinosaurs appeared as objects roaming around through the presence and they were seeing from the perspective of being a dinosaur, this presence is the same as seeing out of your eyes looking in the mirror right now. Just as the dream consciousness lay down at sleep, boom, the dream world is there. So many things to see, so many objects to objects, so much activity. But you absolutely know when you wake up, none of that was true. And your unchanging reality, that presence that you are, none of this is true. No one's born, no one's dying, nothing. There's been no change, never will be, never can be. Like the only change could be in the concept of duality through the seeing of objects within your own self and then objectifying as one of those objects and seeing object to object rather than understanding that, just like in the dream, all of this has just appeared. No dream people are dying. Imagine you had to hold funerals for all the people that died in your dream the next day. Like you see 500 people in your dream in a mall, and you wake up, oh my gosh, that's 500 people that are gone. You know, the little girl who's over there riding on the carousel, and the people who are in line buying ice cream, and the people who work hard behind the counter, oh, they're all gone. What happens to them when they leave the body? What happens to them when they leave the body is the next night, another dream world is projected, and now the little girl that's riding the carousel is the bird flying in the sky. Infinite number of forms appearing and disappearing within the formlessness that doesn't appear or disappear and just is. And within the body-based illusion can be sensed, just I, just I. Nisargadatta Maharaj always talks about, you know, you are, the you are feeling, that I without anything. When I say I, that's I. And now how can that I be an individual? How can that you are feeling be objectified? Other than you could say, okay, I can sense it. That's a subtle sense of presence because I'm in the body-based illusion. I can sense that sense of presence. And when I'm very quiet within myself, the presence kind of reflects in my empty mind very strongly. So I know that's that feeling you are or I exist. Just I, just I. Without body, this just I is not known. But that that is being interpreted as just I or presence is. There's just no knowing of this. There's no feeling of separation because there's nothing other. Except when we go into the body-based illusion, and then there's many others, things that are created because of the concept of being a thing. And we live in a body-based illusion of things. And that's why looking at a plant from the perspective that I'm someone having this amazing spiritual experience and observing presence in the plant, or I understand myself as the presence in which this plant has appeared and in which this body has appeared. And it's just a reflection.
Would you say could you say your it's identifying itself?
For a time, I mean, when you're identified as a body form, that just you are, that that I am, that very subtle sense of presence is identified as a body form. And that's where the confusion comes. Then there's thoughts because there's memories. This body form labeled Keith has done these things rather than this body form labeled Keith is just an appearance within my own self. As is the body form labeled John or Jordan or Alan or Trish or not a Nar. You did it again with your, I go through and I say, wait a minute.
Sorry. I try to change it. It must have appeared again. My bad.
It's all good. No worries. Or Keith or Manohar. It's just the subtle, like I said, if you can say I, okay, I am. But this is not I am. This is not the I. I is the subtle sense of presence. And then when it's in this body, it's called this I and your I and your I and your I. But of course, it's one I. Just as the space within this room and the next room and the next room is all just space. And if the whole building comes down, still space. And the space is not affected by the building coming down. And space is more subtle than the air because the air is affected. When the building comes down, there's a rush. There's dirt, there's debris. But space is not this. It's more subtle. And presence is more subtle than space. Because without presence, there could not be space. There could not be this explosion of objectification and the concept of duality in a body-based existence. You're the most subtle. Use the body to know yourself in a real sense, then enjoy playing. Because nothing's happening. There's no experience, no experience, no witness, no witnesser. Because what is there to witness? There's nothing. I mean, it's okay. There's objects to witness, but I no longer have to sit there and have a mind-created story about a world that is not existing. And then, most terrible, worry about the things that are not happening in the world that's not existing. Because of flowing along with mind and creating a story about things that are not.
And you're still going to be able to deal with things as they come along.
Of course. In the moment. Something happens, it's here. Okay. You deal with what's happening. And that's fine. Next thing. Next thing. Next thing. You don't take the touch of the world. Everything is literally, like Maharaj says, pick up the water, drink it, put it down. There's action and activity there. You could even say there's a thought process there of, I'm thirsty, I get some water, I put it down. But 5 minutes later, I'm not ruminating about the water.
You know, Guruji John, that's something that comes up a lot. I speak to a couple of people once in a while, psychedelically. We get together, and the point that when you are not putting any attention onto objects, how beautiful those things become. I know it's illusory as everything is, but it goes by saying when you are with another couple, with a life partner, with your mother, with any other object, when you don't put your attention onto that object, those things reach their potentiality, you know, and whether you're observing them or not, you know, and that's something that comes up a lot in psychedelic talk, you know, when you're coming back from a DMT experience, for example, and you're still in samadhi and everything is you, and you slowly see the awakened dream reestablish itself. That's something that I notice, that since I'm so in the self, everything around me is magnificent looking, you know, but with no attention, you know, with no passion. And I noticed that the less you put that love into the objects externally, man, you give them an actual chance to reach their potentiality. You know, I guess that's why a lot of couples break up, you know, like my parents are separated, and it's because they were both in love with each other, not with themselves. You know, they weren't. And I noticed that when you don't put, like what you're saying, you don't put attention onto an object, oof, you can drain it. You actually drain it when you put that love out there, that false love. And I think that's something that has to do with that, you know? But yeah, it's very interesting how even objects, even though it's in this dream, can reach. You know, I see plants when I'm in that state, when I'm in the DMT state. I see other objects, the simplest thing with the less conscious, maybe much less conscious. But man, it's, you know, incredible to see a regular drawer, a photo of Nisargadatta, oh man, a photo of you, just to see how that chemical reacts in that world, because you're allowing that object to be what it wants to be, and you're in this state, you know, where everything is you and you are everything. And oh man, in plants you see the whole photosynthesis right in front of you, you know. And it's something that I think if I put my attention on when I'm on DMT, it doesn't happen. But if I'm just in me, oh man, everything around me is, like you say, it's just not there, but at the same time, you know, it's there, you know. It's a weird thing, but
it's a clean seeing without putting the dirty fingers of eye on something.
Yeah, it worked. Yeah, indeed.
It's just, you know,
the eye is gone. Yeah, it would be like opening your eyes in deep sleep. You know, people. That's why people are IM-less when they go to sleep, because they would flip out. If you're not psychedelic and you were to wake up in deep sleep, you would have a heart attack. Unless you're psychedelic and you're able to see the beauty in everything. You know, in a simple candle, you know, in a simple photo, in a simple piece of rock, you know, and see the consciousness in that. Oh, man. Yeah, because the I am is not affecting it. It's not infecting it. Yeah, without a doubt.
Yeah, well, like Nisargadatta Maharaj says, if you walk by and you see some building materials on the ground, you just walk right by them. But if you sit there and you start to think how to build these building materials and use these building materials, that's where you're mentally getting involved and ego is created. But walking by the building materials without a second look, it's just, okay, I'm just having this experience of walking and that's it. It's only when you stop and you start to use mind to say, these building materials could build a small house for me. And then for me, the egoistic sense of I is created of, I am a doer that can use these materials. rather than just passing them by. I think he also uses the example of walking in the street. You're not noticing every single person, and yet there's a flow. All the people are walking and you're walking, but you're not stopping to take a look at each and every person and kind of put object to object in that moment where there is not one needed.
I suppose that's sort of shows the difference between spontaneous, just acting with the moment, just letting it pass and working with it, and then the other approach is to try to manipulate it or figure it out and make it bend to what some kind of vision of what you think you want.
Well, the whole concept of each one of those little stories is that if there's a you, then there are other things. If there's no you, then how are you going to use the building materials? If there's no you, how are you going to interact with the people that are walking towards you? It's more like you're just formless and you don't have that tap, tap, tap of thoughts trying to compress you in a limited body form.
Well, it's sort of like what I'm getting at. You can do things without taking a touch, or else you can do things while you are taking a touch. And there's a qualitative difference, sort of, the way.
Absolutely. When you take the touch of doing something, you create a doer. And then the deed is a good deed or a bad deed. And then you take credit for the deed. And then if you think it's a good deed, but somebody else says it's a bad deed, then you might be depressed. Or you might be angry because someone is now interacting with you on a level because you have taken doership of a deed. You said, this is what I have done. Basically like, look at me, look at me, look at all the good things I've done. And somebody says, well, that's nothing. Look what I've done. And now you're depressed or angry. But if you're not taking the touch, You're okay. What's right in front of you? You're taking care of the moment and doing, and it's just like the drinking. And somebody says, oh, that's why Nisargadatta Maharaj says, oh, you're a very bad saint. Okay, not depressed. Oh, you're a very great saint. Okay, not elated. It makes no difference because whom are you speaking about? There's no deed, no doer. However, if you take the touch and you say, I did this amazing thing, or wow, that was a really great thing that we did, or what, then you've opened yourself up. You've taken the touch of something that was a spontaneous action. You did it after the fact. You created a doer, an egoistic sense of I that's done something. And basically you put that out there and ask the world to say, was it good? Was it bad? You're asking for feedback for something that you didn't actually do because you've put the label of I did it. Why do this? This is not good.
Then you set yourself up for being spoiling the situation with your judgments. And
of course, you invite judgment.
Depression and all that.
And not only do you invite judgment from the outside, because now you're something, a deed and a doer and an egoistic sense that has taken the touch of doing, you've invited now not only criticism from the outside, but from within your own self too. Your own mind can sit there now and say, well, you know, it wasn't that great. Everybody thinks it's great, but you're not that great. Or you really know that they'll find out one day that you're not so great, that there was just something that happened. You know, you didn't even really do anything. It just happened and you took credit for it. You're a terrible person. So now you have judgment because you've opened it up to, I did something and I'm taking the touch of this doership. This is my deed. However, how? If you're not, and no actions are, because you know yourself in a real sense, then how is criticism from you or any so-called other? Other is what? Other is an appearance within your own formless self. perhaps to test your knowledge, you know, perhaps a form within your own self of self tests your knowledge and says, you know, this pie that you made, it sucks. It's terrible. Where the hell did you learn to cook? And you say, oh, you know, I don't know. I put this together. This is, you know, but it's not taking the touch. You're not sitting there and saying, my God, man, it took me like 5 hours to make this stupid pie. And I had to go and get the special apples and everything. I followed the directions exactly. You're telling me I'm so dumb that I can't follow directions? You see? And you might even catch those thoughts about your own self without anyone saying anything. So the best is just pick up, drink, put down. No deed, no doer. No need to take credit. No egoistic I needs to be formed. No thoughts about the activities need to happen. Spontaneous action in the moment.
What kind of interests me is that, I go through my life most of the time in a state of sort of like, feeling myself, I'm dealing with things, nothing's too necessarily bother me, but they easily can. And I know, and that's just kind of like my average normal state or something. And that's a kind of, in general, acceptable to me because it doesn't necessarily bother me. But I know that also that I have, since I've experienced the beauty of being free from self at times, and it's so real, you know, when I go into bliss and stuff. But when in my normal state, it's like, fortunately, I don't get down on myself for not experiencing the bliss, although I can, but.
Remember, your normal state is no experience, no experiencer. All the illusory states are what you're speaking of now.
Yeah, but it's just, what I'm getting at though is that there's like a normal, what seems like a normal state that it can turn real negative.
In those moments, see, this can be easily used because you understand that the entire world's illusion. Master has said this. The books have said this. You've experienced this a couple of times for your own selfless self. The entire world is illusion. I'm formless. I know this because I have sensed this bliss. So now that I know this truth, why get involved when I start to get upset? Okay, pause, fall back into my own self. Okay, now open my eyes. What was it that we were all important and all that? Because remember, your own self is like a black hole. It sucks in all of illusion. And you can do this anytime you want. And yes, that's a sense of egoistic doership. But if you're Keith having desires or having problems with things that are arising, then allow Keith to be sucked in to the black hole. Just pause momentarily. You don't even have to say, oh, this is illusion or anything. No, just pause. Fall back into yourself. Because yourself is always there. That is the reality. And all this illusion, all these layers, we just have to fall back. And believe me, as you're falling back and the sense of presence gets stronger and stronger and stronger and you remain with your own selfless self, everything just kind of collapses into that. Because why get upset if you're the world's illusion? And if for some reason you forget your own self and you remember this world, you know, you say, oh my God, this world is here. No, I forgot myself. So now I just have to refresh my memories. Oh, so that I am that. I don't even need to say that. I just have to fall back into presence. Then open my eyes and go and do what I need to do. what was I worried about? I forgot. You know, what was happening in that moment? That moment is now ancient history. You know, I'm no longer crying over my pet dinosaur. I'm just here.
I have to get used to the fact that that's the truth, though.
It is absolutely the truth. And the more you exercise this knowledge of truth, the more you're absolutely knowing this. And like I said, okay, let's say I'm not quite sure. I've heard it's the truth. Master has said it's the truth. Everything I've read in Selfless Self says it's the truth. When I sit in meditation, I realize this truth, but it's not a constant truth. Okay. So now I'm in the world. And I've forgotten myself. So I just have to refresh my memory. Oh. And I'm no longer out there buzzing. And then this mind that I identify with suddenly is also quiet because there's nothing to talk about internally about what is happening because nothing's happening now. The entire world, like I said, you pause just for a moment, fall back into your own self, and the world is sucked in like a black hole. It just... And now from that position, okay, what was so important? And that's why even, you know, the worldly advice is to walk away from a specific problem. Don't sit there and ruminate about the problem. Walk away from it. Come back to it later, whatever. Well, this is at a little bit higher level. You just remain with your own selfless self. You know you're formless, and whatever activity that seems to be disturbing you is within your own self. So you just refresh your memory. I am not body. I was not body. I'm not going to remain body. And how do you do that? I just remain with myself. It's not in words that I have to say, I am not body, I was not body, I'm not going to remain body. By refreshing your memory, formless presence, no words even needed, just that subtle sense. Now the concept of body is gone because there's nothing there in this way. How? There's no thinking because even that whole thought process that there's a thinker is absorbed in this black hole that you are. That subtle, subtle I, just I. That sense you are, I am. Just subtle, subtle, subtle presence. And then, okay, what needs doing? Let me go do something, whatever. That's not taking the touch. And if you do take the touch, you say, oh, look at that. I forgot myself. I'm playing as this Keith guy again, and Keith is getting all this disturbance. I need to just refresh my memories. I am not body. I was not body. I'm not going to remain body. So this label of Keith cannot be my own self. Because the Keith is the label of the body. And that's how Nisargadatta Maharaj says the cancer is not happening to him. The cancer is happening to this birth principle, this body form. These five elemental goo are experiencing cancer. But if you're formless, there's no cancer. The instrument you're using, just like your car, okay, it's running a little rough. So you take it to the doctor, you take it to the mechanic, you do the best you can. One day this is going to leave you.